Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
From KMOX Sports.
Come on, let's get going now.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Wynn swings and he drives that to left field. Back to the track and gone!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
Now, Matt Pauly and the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome into the Graybar Sports Open Line. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly. He is currently probably returning from the Cards Caravan. He has been there during the day today. Of course, caravan's wrapping up. Winter warm-up is wrapping up. Finally a chance to, what I think is, it's finally a chance to hear from some of the folks that are going to be part of this reset, if you want to call it, or rebuild, which is not really what the Cardinals want to call it. I don't know that that's necessarily accurate either. I think a reset is more appropriate as far as what we have understood this to be for the Cardinals. A little bit of a refocus, perhaps, on development, on younger players. We know that one of their priorities in this offseason is going to be, is, has been, moving Nolan Arenado, which has been slow. So we'll see how that works. We heard from John Mozeliak, who said that that has to be domino one, right? And then everything can fall after that. If they're going to acquire anybody for the bench, if they're going to acquire anybody for the bullpen, anything that they might want to add really is going to be predicated on what they can do with Nolan Arenado. And then the DeWitt said, well, it's not totally true that they have to count on removing Arenado to get to their salary number, that they can do that even with Nolan Arenado. I think one of the things that was interesting that I heard also was that Nolan Arenado didn't come to the Cardinals and say, I want to be moved. I think this was, now that's not to say that there haven't been conversations and he hasn't been in agreement. Yes, it would be better for me to be elsewhere, but he didn't ask to leave the Cardinals. It seems to me like perhaps that conversation was began by the Cardinals, that they perhaps they came to him and said, look, this is what we're looking at. This is what we're thinking about. This is where we would like to be payroll-wise, and all of those things fit better if we can find a different place for you to play. So that's kind of how it sounds to me, and we'll see what that looks like. When I was chatting with Kevin Wheeler for the 515 Sportscast, Kevin made a good point that let's see where the Bregman deal goes, where he goes, and then it's going to be a little bit, that's going to create a little bit more urgency, right? That's going to be where teams are really starting to figure out, okay, so we didn't land Bregman. Where do we go? Is Arenado number two on that list? And that's probably some of what Nolan Arenado was kind of thinking in his head, because as John Mozeliak described it, it was an order of operations issue as to why he decided to nix the trade to Houston. They would have sent him to the Houston Astros. It wasn't so much, I don't want to play in Houston, and I don't know that it was a money thing. It was just that, hey, I think that we might get a better deal by waiting and seeing what the market holds for us. So that was, I think it was all interesting, and there was a ton of interviews. If you missed any of the interviews at winter warm-up with all of the players and execs and all of that stuff. Anything that we did here on Camo X, whether it was Matt Pauly on Saturday, it was myself and Tom Ackerman on Sunday, it was Tom a little bit this morning, that's all available on Cardinals Conversations. So you want to check that out on CamoX.com, on Odyssey.com. All of those interviews are there. I know Matt Pauly is going to revisit some of those interviews coming up later this week on the Countdown to Opening Day show as well, so you'll get to hear some of those. We're going to give you a couple tonight, one of which is going to be to hear from the Cards manager, Oliver Marmol. Tom Ackerman caught up with Ollie Marmol just before he had a spot on the main stage earlier today. And got about 4 minutes with the Cards manager, but I think it's really interesting. So we'll let you hear that coming up about 6:35 or so this evening. The national championship, of course, is about 35 minutes away from kickoff in Atlanta with Ohio State and Notre Dame. And we're going to hear a little bit from Dennis Dodd coming up in our next segment. He was on this morning with Chris and Amy, and it talked about kind of what he expects to come out of tonight's game, and even a little bit about the national championship, or the playoff format, I should say. So we'll let you hear a little bit from Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports. That'll come up in our next segment. The Blues are currently playing, and I did a sportscast at 5:45. The first period was seconds from ending. It was a 1-1 game. It's 2-1 Blues now. They get a goal at the end of the first period, and when I say end, I mean it came at the 19:43 mark from Nathan Walker. He gets his fifth. Braden Chen has his 11th already tonight. He got that midway through the first before Vegas tied it. Tomas Hertl with a goal for the Vegas Golden Knights also in that first period. So they are in the first intermission. Actually, that second period just getting underway now. And the Blues lead that game 2-1. So we'll keep you updated on that one as well. Like I said, the national championship, college football national championship, gets underway. That kickoff is slated for 6:30 tonight, and we will hear from Dennis Dodd ahead of that. So you can hear a little bit of what he thought before the game gets underway. This is interesting to me. I just found this on Instagram, so take it for what it's worth. This is the first time an Under Armour school will play for a college football national championship. From 2015 all the way to 2023, both schools were Nike. It was Nike from 15 to 23. In 24, it was Jordan and Adidas were the two schools to play for the national championship. And it's Nike and Under Armour this year. Of course, Under Armour is Notre Dame. Notre Dame, who was a longtime Adidas school. They were one of the first original Adidas schools, along with Miami. Those are the two real big schools that I can remember being Adidas schools right off the bat. But they switched to Under Armour a few years ago. So tonight it's Nike and Under Armour. And again, first time that an Under Armour school will get to play for a national championship, at least in the college football playoff era. It might have come before that. But in the college football playoff era, there has not been an Under Armour school to play for a national championship. So not for any reason other than I found that to be interesting. And again, we've got a shortened version of the show tonight as well. I need to mention that. Bob Ramsey will be up at 7 o'clock. That'll come up after the 7 o'clock news, and he'll have Josh Schertz. It'll be the Billiken Coaches Show. So that's what we have for you tonight. We'll be here 6 to 7. Dennis Dodd coming up on the other side of our break, which is coming here momentarily. Oliver Marmol coming up around the 6:35 mark, and then Jordan Walker. We'll hear from Jordan Walker, who I had a chance to visit with. I thought it was kind of a cool interview. He was pretty candid. I felt like I was asking some questions just about what it's been like for him, and he was pretty candid, and he was fun to talk to, and it was fun to get to chat with all the guys that I got to chat with yesterday, and I know that Matt Pauly and Tom Ackerman feel the same way. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly. Break coming up here, and we'll hear from Dennis Dodd, who was with Chris and Amy earlier today. We'll do that on the other side of the break as the Gray Bar Sports Open Line rolls on this shortened edition here on Camo X.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
We're back in on the Graybar Sports Open Line. Joe Pott with you on this Monday night, a holiday Monday for a lot of folks, including myself from my day job. So was hanging out today. I was taking in a lot of the inauguration coverage, as I think a lot of people were. And it's super cold, and that's just annoying. And it's going to get colder, obviously. If you've been listening, it's just going to get brutal here over the next day or two. I think I saw tonight that wind chills are going to be like down near minus 10 after midnight tonight. So stay inside, stay under a blanket, stay warm somewhere. National championship game tonight, college football national championship. It is obviously the culmination of the very first 12-team playoff, of course, which started with campus sites, and man, it really has been fun, and it's been fun to watch. And I'm not the diehard college football guy. I like college football. I enjoy college football. I am a Mizzou fan. Just growing up here and being the team that I followed and the one that was closest here, and just that's always kind of been where my allegiance has been as far as college football. I went to a school that did not have big-time football. They had just the FCS football, so it wasn't even that I had a college football team to follow in college. So it's always been Mizzou. And I, coming into the season, I think that there was a an opportunity. I think a lot of folks thought it was there was a chance that Mizzou was going to be part of that 12-team college football playoff. I think they're in great position. They might have the opportunity to do it next year, and that's fun to follow. It was really fun for me to see those first-round games on campus sites. You know, you were talking about Notre Dame Stadium had never hosted a game in December. And that's it's sort of like you step back and you think about, oh, of course they haven't, because there's no chance to do that when the regular season is over and then you're going off to a bowl game as it's been in the past. Even, you know, in the short four-team college football playoff, there was no chance to have a home game there at that point in the season. And that was cool. And you've got Indiana playing at Notre Dame, right, two regional rivals. And you've got Tennessee again. Ohio State, same thing. The Horseshoe had never hosted a game in December. Those are just crazy things and kind of cool things that were brought on by this college football playoff. So tonight it all culminates, obviously, in Notre Dame and Ohio State. The last line I saw, I think, was 8.5 points in favor of Ohio State. Now look right now and just see what I'm showing on mine, and we can see I have 8.5 points in favor of Ohio State. That's what I've got right now as the current line. So Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, he was on this morning with Chris and Amy. They had a short program as well because of inauguration coverage here on Camo X, but he was talking about the college football national championship game and really the whole 12-team playoff format in of itself, the whole thing. But he also gave his predictions and kind of what he expects. And one of the things he said is he thinks Ohio State's going to win.
Well, it's recency bias, isn't it? I mean, you wouldn't have given Ohio State much of a chance to do anything 52 days ago when they were absolutely putrid against Michigan. But they had, I know this is a cliche a lot of times, a team meeting day or two after, aired their grievances, and just came out and played better. I think Ryan Day got across the point that he did in that post game, as bitter as it was, that we have a chance now to go in the playoffs. It's still not acceptable at Ohio State to lose four in a row, and it'll be interesting to see 10.5 months from now when Ohio State goes to Michigan, maybe as an underdog again, the chance for five in a row, how sticky a national championship is if they win tonight. But no, they're very, very good. They're the best team in the tournament. They've got the most talent. They did, I thought, when the tournament started. But again, we needed to see more out of them. Now they've won three games by an average of 20 points. So, yes, they should win the game.
Recency bias. That is huge in college football. And it's huge. Think about the regular season. Notre Dame can tell you about recency bias, and I say it in the opposite way, because Notre Dame had what looked like a crushing loss to Northern Illinois earlier this season at Notre Dame at home, and then went on to make up for it because of the body of work from that point forward. You look at other teams in the regular season, and now obviously you're not going to get that kind of upset usually in conference play, right? You're going to get that the sheer magnitude of that upset being a non-conference game, being Northern Illinois out of the MAC beating Notre Dame. So as you get later in the season, it gets to be conference games. But if you think about where teams are ranked and they'll stay all year, you know, wherever it is, and then all of a sudden they've got a loss at the end of the year, and then it looks bad and they drop, or like, think about a Mizzou, which was at one point right at the edge of the top 10. They might have been number 9. I think they might have peaked at number 9 this year. But they have the terrible loss to Texas A&M, which dropped them way down. Then a couple of weeks later, it's the loss at Alabama, which dropped them again, maybe to 25. They were out of the poll maybe briefly, but they only were able to get back in right up until, you know, 21 or number 19 or something like that. So recency bias there. So that's what Dennis Dodd kind of cites about recency bias with Ohio State, is they were able to sort of bounce back from that. Now, he also believes that Notre Dame is going to keep this one from being a blowout.
I have Ohio State to win the game, but underneath the 8 points, I have Notre Dame covering, because I think they're going to play this game like they have the three other games in this tournament. They have dragged the opponent down to their level, kind of muddied it up, It's a hard team to game plan for because there are some of their parts. You know, they get a kickoff return against Georgia. They lead the country in takeaways. They lead the country in points after turnovers. Their quarterback beat Georgia as both the leading rusher and throwing for less than 100 yards. Their offensive line has been a mess because of injuries, but it has succeeded. You mentioned Jeremiah Love. Jeremiah Love, since that 98-yard run against Indiana in the opener, Notre Dame's running game has averaged 3.27 yards. That's not good. So the one thing you put your hand on is they're really good defensively. They're going to try to limit the possessions, try to hold on to the ball, get first downs, keep it away from Ohio State. And frankly, the blueprint for an upset, he's 22 years old, if you guys remember this, in the Fiesta Bowl, Ohio State, in a similar game, was a big, big underdog to Miami. That was a forever Miami team. Just like Ohio State, a lot of draft choices on it. And Ohio State, limited possessions, made it a game in the 20s. Miami had 13 possessions in regulation and scored on four of them. The other nine, turnovers, interceptions, punts, blocked field goal. I assume you're going to see a lot of that tonight. And Ohio State's going to win one in the 20s, something like 23-17.
That's what got Notre Dame to the national championship game, was that late interception that got them the ball back and allowed them to move on in this 12-team tournament. So interesting that was what Dennis Dodd was citing on essentially how Notre Dame was going to have a chance, or how Notre Dame was going to be able to keep this one close, was the defense. He also talked about, as I said, he talked about the entire 12-team playoff, and he generally has enjoyed and liked the 12-team playoff and believes it to be a success.
Well, as I reminded people after there was the uproar over that, in the previous 20 semifinal games that we've had in the history of the playoff, I think they're all decided by 18 points. That was the average. So number one is nothing new. Number two, as I recall, in the NFL playoffs this year, there's a lot of blowouts. Nobody seemed to be screaming about that. It is what it is. The matchups are what they are. The 12 team, I've never covered a better season. I mean, it's easy not to overthink this. The games are more compelling. The games are more compelling later in the season. The playoff, I think, has been great. I think it's held people's attention. The bowl season, remember when they said the bowls will be ruined by the playoff, this month-long slog of playoff games? The bowls ratings are up 14%. The game is very, very healthy. You got two teams in it who have two of the biggest alumni bases, are going to draw in fans. That place is going to be packed tonight. So, no, I think it's been a success. I have no problem with 12. I think it's great, more opportunities. And I told people I would stake my house on the fact they're going to expand to 14 in 26. I think that's going to happen.
Wow, that's quick. I think there is the thought, obviously, that you're going to expand it out, but that quick? I don't know. I'd like to see 12 get a chance, and I think there are tweaks to be made, perhaps the biggest tweak being that the conference champion doesn't necessarily get the bye. I think that created a little bit more mismatches, but Dennis Dodd raises a great point in that, I mean, you look at the NFL, and you see some blowouts in the NFL, and you're not saying, oh, that team shouldn't have been there, whatever, right? It's a little bit different, obviously, because it's picked by a committee. But I agree. It has been great, and I do think it makes the later weeks of the regular season more compelling. You know, Team A, for example, couldn't take another loss, right? You know right then that if they have, in some cases, if they have one loss, two is not going to be sustainable. This year, it seemed that three was that number. You had a number of two-loss teams, but that third loss is what would get you and what would knock you out if you were in the spots, if you're in those positions to be in the college football playoff. But it's very compelling. And again, I think the fact that you're talking about, wait, we might get a home playoff game. If you're in that first round, you might get a home playoff game, and I think that's cool. That's exciting. That's another chance for these schools to fill up their stadiums and have another college football Saturday. Might not be a Saturday. It depends on, obviously, how it shakes out. Another college football home date, game date. And that's exciting, and that's cool for those teams. So that was Dennis Dodd from this morning on the Chris and Amy show. As I mentioned, we'll do pretty much baseball here from here on out. We will do baseball here from here on out. And we'll talk about the Cardinals, and we'll hear from Oliver Marmol. That's coming up right after the break. We're going to hear from him. He talked to Tom Ackerman this morning. Just, it's not a long interview. I do think it's a good interview. He talked to him right before he had to get on stage and do a kind of a public presentation there at Winter Warm-Up, but he did visit with Tom Ackerman. So that's coming up next. Jordan Walker coming up at the end of the hour. And again, the Billiken Coaches Show, Rammer will be in with Josh Schertz. That's coming up at 7 o'clock tonight. So we've just got till 7 o'clock. So up next, Ollie Marmol coming up with Tom Ackerman. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line. I'm Joe Pott sitting in for Matt Pauly, and we're coming right back on KMOX. Graybar Sports Open Line rolls on here on KMOX on this Monday night, shortened edition. We're here till 7 o'clock, and then it'll be Bob Ramsey and the Billiken's head coach, Josh Schertz. It's the Billiken Coaches Show coming up here at 7 o'clock. So until then, we'll talk some baseball here and kind of recap a couple of things that we got to during the winter warm-up. Like I said, top of the show, I do think it's good. This is always an interesting time to me. It's great. It's great for us and the chance to kind of visit with some of the players because you are removed from 2024 as maybe it was, I think it was maybe Zach Thompson, Andre Pallante, one of them when I was chatting with, he goes, yeah, I can forget all the things that went wrong in 2024, but they're not quite at the, we're ramping up for 2025. Now that's close. And for some of them, it literally comes right after winter warm-up that they're headed to Florida or they've already been in Florida, right? But you're not at the point where you're talking about, hey, here's what is happening in preparation for, here's what's going on in 2025. Like when you get to spring training, then it's about, I'm doing these specific things. We're looking at these specific goals, all of that. Right now, it's just a little bit easier and a little bit more relaxed, I think, for the players. For us, media-wise, that's kind of a cool time to check in, to catch the players. And obviously, it is why winter warm-up fits in right here with the holiday weekend. The baseball writers' dinner was last night. All of those things fit in very well. This morning, Tom Ackerman was at the winter warm-up. He was able to catch up with the Cardinals manager, Oliver Marmol, literally had to catch up with him as he was getting ready to go on stage today. But a cool interview. So here is Tom Ackerman with the Cards manager, Oliver Marmol.
Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol with us on KMOX from the winter warm-up. Let me first pay you a compliment. I think that last night, the baseball writers' dinner, you did a terrific job. You actually took some time in your office. You assembled some comments that what you wanted to convey to the crowd and the audience about the direction from your perspective. How did you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, to be quite honest, we've received a lot of questions on the direction that we're headed and what this reset means, and are we trying to win? Do we truly believe in this young core to compete? And I thought it'd be important to sit down and actually write something out to communicate clearly to our fan base how I'm viewing and how we're viewing the 2025 season and beyond. And although it'll look different, it's exciting, man. There's a ton of young guys that are trying to establish and make a mark on this organization's just the history. And they're energetic, they're passionate, and they're going to play in a relentless way that'll be fun to watch. So I know there's a lot of questions, but there is a lot to be excited about.
I wanted to tap into that a little bit. The relentless athleticism and that team being younger kind of leads you into that direction?
That's exactly right. You have a hungry group that's going to play fast. They're going to be electric. They're going to be passionate about their play. But they're going to play the game the right way. Like, this organization for a very long time has had a consistent style of play. And there's a certain grit and there's a certain just heart that is expected, and that won't change, man. That will remain a staple of how we play the game. But man, these guys are looking forward to just letting loose and playing hard, and it'll be fun to watch.
Your staff, have you assembled the staff that you think can do that for you?
I love this staff. Absolutely love this staff, man. On the pitching side, I think we made some really good gains last year. I think we headed in the right direction and shrunk the gap of just looking at that department and modernizing the way we look at that department. I thought our pitchers took some really good steps. in the right direction. Then Brant Brown has been a really good addition, man. He's down there hitting with Gorman almost every day. He flew down to meet with Walker, Vicks, Yanni. He's hit with Pajes. He's hit with Baker. Like, he's made his rounds, and he's done a really nice job of starting to instill trust in these guys. And the feedback has been super positive. So from a staff standpoint, when you look at what this year is going to be when it comes to development, and you look at our staff, that's what we're built for. So I'm extremely excited about it.
And last thing, so Sonny Gray's back. So now you have your veteran, one of a few that can overlook the pitching staff and offer guidance. You lose Goldie, but I'm curious where you see Contreras in that role now as a leader at this stage in his career.
Sonny Gray and Wilson called Mo and asked to stay. And I hope we take a second to understand what that truly means, right? Both of these guys could have asked out, but they saw the direction we're headed, and they accepted the challenge, and they embraced it. And that's meaningful, because you have two veteran guys that are all about winning saying, I believe in this young core, and we will find a way to win. And they want to come alongside of these young guys and show them what that looks like and be there while we do it. So that pumps me up, man. That gets me super excited. Wilson fits into what we have going on very well.
Looking forward to getting together in Jupiter, seeing everything take place, all of our times on KMOX, and what's to come in 25. You just never know. You got to play ball.
You got to play ball. It'll be fun. We're going to have a good time, and I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks for the time.
You got it, babe.
I like the outlook, and I think that I know exactly what everybody, all they're going to say, right? Oh, he has to say that. He's the manager, blah, blah, blah. But I've been saying this for a while, that I don't, this has never felt like a doomsday to me. It has always felt like more of an opportunity. And as I have said before, I think it's going to be very similar to what we saw in 2024. Yes, I get it. It is not the top of the line as far as the, it's not Yankees, Dodgers. They're going to go out and win 110 games. But there's a chance they could go out and win 90 games, 95 games, and be a playoff team, which is still better than we've had here in St. Louis in 3 years. They might be better than where 22 was, right? I don't know, and I'm not predicting that's going to happen. What I am predicting is that I think it's going to be better than a lot of the naysayers believe, and I believe it because of exactly the things that Oliver Marmol said. First of all, great to hear that guys like Sonny Gray and Wilson Contreras said, not just, hey, we're open. No, we want to stay here. Don't move us. Don't move us. You have two veteran guys that are playing where they want to be playing. And who's not excited about a full season of Wilson Contreras? Wherever he plays defensively, whether if he's going to play a bunch at first base, as we've heard, fine. Is he going to DH and catch some more? Fine. He was your best offensive player last year, despite missing two big chunks of the season with injury. He also was one of the most positive players throughout both of those things. So he is good to have around. He's good to have in the clubhouse. Sonny Gray is a vet. Again, someone else that can be a leader with how he is out there playing the game and performing. And you've got a lot of young guys, and you've got a lot of talent still. I spoke with Michael McGreevy at the winter warm-up. He's in a great frame of mind after finishing off the year really strong. You've got a guy like that who's going to be fighting for a rotation spot. You've got a Gordon Graceffo that may be fighting for a rotation spot. You've got the veteran Miles Michaelis back. You've got Andre Pallante back. So you have good pieces of that rotation. You've got great pieces of the bullpen in Ryan Helsley, JoJo Romero. We've barely seen what Riley O'Brien can do. You presumably have a healthy Riley O'Brien that's going to be part of that bullpen. There's a lot of good to come. I think there's a lot more good than people maybe believe. Jordan Walker's coming up on the other side of the break as we continue with our shortened edition of the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. I'm Joe Pop in for Matt Pauly. We'll come right back after this on Camo X.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
It's Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly on this shortened edition of the Gray Bar Sports Open Line program. The Billikens Coaches Show is coming up after us here on KMOX, 7 o'clock. That'll be Bob Ramsey, and he's got the Billikens head men's basketball coach Josh Schertz with him. So that'll be great to follow us here. We're talking a little baseball as we have the last half of our show here. and replaying some stuff that we had a chance to do over the weekend at the Cards winter warm-up. We heard from the Cardinals manager, Oliver Marmol. I had a chance to visit with Jordan Walker yesterday at the winter warm-up, and as I said, top of the show, I feel like he's pretty candid. I didn't get into anything too heavy-hitting, but I did ask him about, you know, what it's been like with him starting the season in St. Louis, going back to Memphis. He's done it twice now, and I thought he was pretty candid talking about that. And all in all, he's excited to be getting ready for 2025. So here is Cardinals outfielder Jordan Walker.
My pleasure to welcome to the other mic, Jordan Walker.
What's going on, man?
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you as well,
man,
sir.
Welcome back to St. Louis, and what a crowd we've got.
Absolutely, man. It's unbelievable out there. Really exciting.
Is it? I don't think it's lost on any of you that it's freezing cold outside, and this place is packed with Cardinals fans.
Absolutely, man. I mean, it just shows the culture of, you know, Cardinals Nation, man, and it's really truly a blessing to, you know, play for them as well. So, you know, I know it's what I was told. It felt like 11 degrees outside right now, and man, the place is packed. It's unbelievable, man, and it really shows, you know, how much, you know, they care and how much it means to me to try to put on a really good season for them.
How was your caravan?
It was great, man. It was great. So we went through Memphis, went to Dyersburg. We went all over the place, man. It was really, really, truly outstanding.
What is that like? Because, you know, you talk about fans coming here. What's it like to go back to the fans?
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. I'm thinking in Dyersburg, we saw a baseball team, man. Like, wow, the nostalgia that it brought, man. Like, where I was, it reminded me of being back in Decatur High School, about all the way back in Georgia, you know, where it all started. So, I mean, getting the opportunity to go over there, you know, talk to those kids, it was a surreal feeling. And also, we went to an elementary school as well, got to play basketball with the little second graders through fourth graders. I mean, it was just really a surreal feeling, for sure.
There is something about this game, right, that it's that it's a people's game. When I was talking to Pedro Pajas earlier, he mentioned going back to Peoria, of course, where he played in the minors.
Right.
And he sees people that he remembers. They were cheering him on 3 years ago when he was playing in the minors.
Exactly.
And there's something about this game that brings that out.
Absolutely. And when I went to Memphis, actually, I saw people that I saw last year. So it was really, truly, like, it was cool. They had, you know, pictures of us from, you know, that we took during the year last year and in the winter warm-up last year. So just, you know, having these just bunches of fans come in and, you know, keep coming, it really, you know, is truly a good feeling.
Jordan Walker with us here on KMOX. It's the winter warm-up from Ballpark Village.
And
Boy, it's been a whirlwind, obviously.
Absolutely.
For you since you've come up.
Right.
You've spent some time back down in Memphis.
Right.
What's this offseason look like now? Yeah. What's kind of the plan for Jordan Walker right now?
Absolutely. I mean, the main focus was getting back to feeling right, getting back to feeling fluid at the plate, and definitely the defensive side as well. But my number one focus going into the offseason was definitely just getting fluid at the plate, getting back to what I did well, getting back to hitting that fastball more consistently. I think that I've taken those strides in the offseason, and I've made a lot of, you know, a whole lot of adjustments to what my approach per se, just more adjustments to where I was doing back in 2023, back in what my stance was like in 2022, minor leagues in the fall league, and kind of taking what I learned last year with my approach at the plate towards the end of the season to, you know, try to get a little bit better and try to improve a little bit more.
There's a lot of noise if you listen to fans, if you listen to so-called experts, right?
Right.
They know what this is going to do to a Jordan Walker.
Yeah.
How has it been for Jordan Walker?
What do you mean? Like just the feelings?
Or? Like when you start up in the bigs.
Absolutely.
And then they ask you to go back down to Memphis, and you've done that twice.
Right.
Quite honestly, I understand. I know that could be deflating.
Right.
And like I said, a lot of noise. Everybody seems to know how that affects Jordan Walker.
Absolutely.
And what's that doing to Jordan Walker? But I'm asking Jordan Walker, what's that doing?
Absolutely, man. I went to this game knowing it's a game of feeling. It's a game of the ups and downs, man. It's not going to always be pretty. It's not going to always be a great feeling, man. But really, I learned this early with my my granddad really instilled this into me and my dad as well, that, you know, if you love something, you're going to keep doing it. You know what I'm saying? I'm confident in myself that I can produce at the major league level, so why quit? You know what I mean? So I've always had that outlook. I've always had that, you know, kind of positive attitude, and that really definitely helped me get through the past, obviously, tough year. But I think it also is what also motivates me this offseason and drive to do something great this upcoming year.
You hit some bombs in Memphis. I mean, it was fun.
Yes,
I know there were several times I'm doing a post game on KMOX, and we're playing audio from your guys in Memphis from just some absolute moonshots. How eager are you to do that right across the street here?
Man, super excited, super pumped to get going, man. I'm start hitting live BP when I get back home, man, and we're going to start getting rocking for spring training and everything like that, so I can't wait for the season to start and be able to do it.
That's one of the things we've heard so much, right? The focus on getting the ball in the air, driving the baseball. Mm-hmm. What kind of things, what kind of tools get you to that spot?
Yeah, I think it's just more just getting consistent in the ball. And there's no secrets. Last year, I didn't put the bat on the ball as much. I had my striking out a lot. I was whiffing a lot. And I think trying to do too much is what caused me to do it. You know, I was trying to hit home runs. And, you know, they're not asking me to hit home runs. They need to be able to hit line drives and everything like that. I think that's the consistency that I need. And I think that, you know, going back more towards my old approach while adding some, you know, new mental aspects to my game can achieve that. So I'm really excited to, you know, put that together here in spring training and, you know, during the year as well.
It's appropriate that you mention that because I chatted this morning with some of the assistants with Flo and with Rob Serfolio.
Right.
And one of the things that Rob said was development of a player has to be more than just batting cage and fielding.
Right.
It's about nutrition. It's about mental performance and how you feel mentally. It's about you as a full person, top to bottom.
Right.
How important has that been to you?
Yeah, I think it's unbelievable, man. I think, you know, what's really most important to me is I have good people in my corner, man. I have great teammates, great friends, great family. And, you know, really talking to them helps a lot with the mental aspect because this is a really mental game, you know. You can really get into your own head. And I think, you know, having them in my corners definitely really just helped me. And they also – we have a mental specialist on staff as well. So, I mean, they're just giving us all these opportunities to really work on our mental health and, you know, work on our mental stability that is definitely necessary, if I answer your question.
What does the schedule look like now for you going forward, going towards spring training?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to get back after Cardinals warm-up. I'm going to head straight down to Florida. Spend that last month training, you know, doing my – working out, hitting, pitchers are trying to throw now, so we're doing live BPs, trying to get, you know, as strong as I can to go into spring training, and I want to produce in spring training, produce during the year, and let's win some as a Cardinals unit for sure.
How much does that outfield core or just the rest of the team, how much do you feed off of one another, whether it's Victor Scott, whether it's Michael Ciani, all you guys?
Huge, man. Their outlook on the game is unbelievable, and they're quite knowledgeable for how young they are as well. So, I mean, it feeds in a lot. Everything they've taught me a lot about the game, taught me a lot about outfield. I would say that about Burleson. I'd say that about Newt as well. I mean, spending all that time with them in the outfield these past few years, I mean, you just get to learn a lot. So I think it's a very important aspect to the game for sure.
Jordan Walker, thanks for taking some time with us.
Man.
It's great to have you back in St. Louis.
Sounds
we can't
good.
Wait to see you much more over there.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
There you go. There's Cards outfielder Jordan Walker just talking about a range of topics, and I thought it was good. As I said, it wasn't meant to be anything terribly hard-hitting, but I do think people want to know because I do hear it all the time, like, oh, this is terrible. You're going to ruin Jordan Walker. I don't know that that's the case. I don't know that you can make that decision yet, and it certainly didn't sound like that when talking to Jordan Walker. And we'll see. I think that in my unexpert opinion, I think Jordan Walker's obviously one of the most intriguing players that we'll watch in 2025. I would think it makes all the sense in the world that he's penciled in more times than not, and he gets the opportunity to just go out there and play. You want to see what you've got. I think he's one of those guys that is super important when it comes to that. And if you're serious about getting into more of a younger feel and more of a development look, that's, you know, there's probably not a bigger case out there as far as that goes. I mean, there's a lot of players like that, but I think he's probably one of the most important and certainly probably the highest profile when it comes to that. Just letting him go and seeing what you've got at the big league level for an extended amount of time. Thanks so much to Kyle Sixtep behind the controls tonight, putting everything together for us. Good to hear from Ollie Marmol, Dennis Dodd, Jordan Walker. It's the Billiken Coaches Show coming up on the other side of the 7 o'clock news. Bob Ramsey and Josh Schertz coming at you. I'm Joe Pott for Matt Pauly. Keep it here on KMOX.